The federal government, it has made much of its efforts to strip citizenship from dual nationals who've gone to fight with Islamic State. What about the many who are not dual nationals? Now, the case of an Australian woman trapped in an IS refugee camp in Syria, that case is raising questions about what to do with IS recruits who now want to come home. Now, the woman's believed to be 24-year-old Zara Duman. She says her two young children are sick. She wants help to bring them back to Australia. Prime Minister Scott Morrison isn't going out of his way to help.
They have to take responsibility for those decisions to join up with terrorists who are fighting Australia. Now, I'm not going to put any Australian at risk to try and extract people from those situations. They have made their decisions. And if they're Australian citizens, and if they are Australian citizens, well, there is a process for us to deal with them under Australian law.
Okay, what is that process? What does the law say? To dig into that, Professor George Williams, he's an expert in constitutional law, University of New South Wales. Welcome back to Drive.
Thank you.
If this woman is who we think she is, then she left Australia in 2014, the age of 19, to be with her boyfriend who joined Islamic State. And now, she was an online recruiter for IS herself. With that background, what crimes is she potentially guilty of?
Well, there's a number, and the most simple one is that it's an offence to enter areas that are declared by the Australian government to be a no-go zone. And that includes areas that ISIS has been involved in Syria and Iraq. So it's quite possible she's simply been in one of those areas, and that itself can give rise to a 10-year jail term. But in addition to that, recruiting, supporting, there's a range of offences that can come with very lengthy jail terms. So it's quite possible if this person does return that they'd be picked up by the police on their return, they'd be go through a trial, and they may find themselves jailed for a lengthy period.
Two children involved in this. I mean, presumably as an Australian citizen, she can come home. What's the citizenship status of those kids?
Well, and she can come home, yes, if she's an Australian citizen. But of course, if she's a dual national, then the government could seek to strip her Australian citizenship, and that would prevent her from coming home.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not the case, then until the government gets another bill passed, which is actually in Parliament at the moment, that will deal with temporary exclusion orders, then yes, she can come home. It's just a matter of logistics. Can she physically get here? When it comes to her children, they are likely also to be Australian citizens, if she is, so they would have the same rights. Depending on who the father is, it's possible the children might be dual nationals. It's possible the children might be caught up in some sort of citizenship stripping process. But that would seem unlikely, and so it would really be a matter for both her and the children. Can they get here? Will the government give them any assistance? Or will they essentially be left there without Australian support?
What about those children? I mean, presumably they're blameless. If they came back on their own without their mother, what would be their position?
Well, and it's where I do have a problem with the rhetoric we're seeing at a political level, because yes, the mother does bear responsibility for her actions. It's quite possible she's committed a criminal offence that could see her jailed for a long period of time. But of course, it's wrong to visit her actions upon her children, and I think they should be treated as any other Australian citizen in danger. And of course, there are difficult decisions to make about whether it's reasonable to risk the safety of our officials to rescue them. But they're the sort of decisions that should be made without reference to what their parent has done.
Our audience, George Williams, texting in 0418 226 576. One text says, another example of punishing children for the decision of their parents. Says another texter, why not show these people some compassion? They are young and have been unfortunate to be born in times when most forms of dissent have become totally impotent. I mean, it's easy to be sympathetic, George, about the woman's situation joining ISIS at such a young age, but the law applies. She took that decision as an adult.
Well, that's right, and there are no exceptions for making stupid decisions as a young person, and that's the way it should be. I mean, look, the law is clear. It was clear when she left, and that includes being a member of a terrorist organisation and the like, and I personally think that the right thing to happen with her is the law should simply take its course. But that means she should be returned. She should be subject to that law. Because if she's not, we're really just saying this is someone else's problem. It may be Iraq, it may be Syria. And, I mean, why should they be having to deal with potentially dangerous Australians. I think our own system is capable of doing that, and we should bear responsibility for whatever treatment and punishment is appropriate.
Well, there's pressure at the other end of that equation for Australia to step up and take its citizens back. Is there an argument that we have an international obligation to do just that?
Well, I think we do, and in fact it's the United States that's been recently been calling upon nations to do this, because if we don't, we risk countries around the world saying, well, we don't want these potentially dangerous people returned, let's just leave them out there in these countries. And in fact, they may be in a position to do harm to us in the future. They may be in a position to continue recruitment, or they may be simply be in countries where those other countries are lawless or unable to deal with their actions. And I think we're actually shirking our international responsibilities by not making the world a safer place, by ensuring our citizens actually comply with the law. And we have very strong laws in this regard. I think simply saying you can't return is unwise in the long term.
Could the Syrian government deport her to Australia?
Well, they could try, yes. And if she's still an Australian citizen, then of course we would need to take her. And the larger problem arises with the dual nationals, where we strip their citizenship, they can no longer be returned, and they can be simply left in limbo with potentially a festering hatred towards us that, instead of being jailed or otherwise treated here, they may simply be left at large in countries that are unable to deal with them properly. And that's why this just doesn't work. I don't think we make the world a safer place by denying our responsibility to deal properly with these people, because all you're doing is essentially shifting the problem elsewhere and in ways that may even come back to cause Australians great harm, because, of course, it's not only recruitment over there that's a problem. They may recruit in Australia through the internet, or perhaps even seek to do harm to Australians overseas.
The Court of Public Opinion is tough on this. Another text here, treason used to carry the death penalty. We had the example recently that the British government under fire for stripping citizenship from another Islamic State bride, Shamima Begum. She joined IS at the age of 15. And now all three of her children have died. How do you see the movement of public opinion on issues like this? And do you think it might, despite the sort of response we're getting on the text line, could that perhaps push governments to take a more compassionate position?
Well, I think if anything, governments seem to see value in actually being very, very tough and very rigid in these areas, hence the citizenship stripping laws we've got and some of the more extreme examples of anti-terror laws. And many of these laws go beyond, I think, community safety into what I call gesture politics. They're about looking tough. They're about having things that show the community that we're taking quite extreme measures. But when you're dealing with something like terrorism, that's not always effective. And sometimes you shift problems elsewhere, or sometimes you actually increase resentment in ways that actually aid terrorist recruiters. And you feed this cycle of alienation and disaffection that I think is better dealt with through ordinary, strong criminal processes, and not thinking that our and the world's safety is actually improved by simply trying to put these people out of sight and out of mind of Australia.
The state and federal legislation and law, of course, around this, is there any flexibility around the country?
Well, yes, there is. And when it comes to flexibility, it means that there's choices about the sorts of treatment people receive on their return. If somebody hasn't clearly committed an offence, then they can be subject to control orders. There's all sorts of ways of restricting their liberty. And Australia has some of the most severe but also effective measures in the world in this area because of just how far we've gone. So we're not short of ways of making sure that returning people aren't a community danger. Or, of course, you have the range of criminal offences. And we're talking about people here who may well have committed a very long list of offences that come with very long penalties. So this isn't about someone returning and just simply joining the community. This is about someone returning and potentially facing a large part of their life in jail. And that's, I think, a very different prospect to what people might imagine might be, you know, a danger to them.
Indeed. I guess, you know, with the collapse of the physical caliphate, we may be, you know, this could be just the beginning of a series of cases of this type.
I think so. And, of course, it's not unusual. We've had these situations in the past where Australians have gone to war zones, made poor decisions, sometimes fought against our interests. And in past times, we've said that, well, it may be treason. There's a range of offences on the books to deal with these type of offenders, and they have been tried and have faced the consequences. It's a more modern thing to say we're simply going to prevent them from returning to Australia. And even more troubling, that we would even suggest that this might apply to children. If only we know that these things can have an intergenerational thing as well. It's really unwise, I think, to treat children in a way that might create a sense of hostility that will extend over many, many years, even generations, as opposed to treating them as Australians, as innocent people, and seeking to ensure that they're brought up in a way that does not give rise to radicalisation and long-term problems.
George Williams, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Professor George Williams, he's an expert in constitutional law, the University of New South Wales.